All right, good morning. Happy Mother's Day.
Good morning.
How's everybody doing today?
Rejoicing.
Rejoicing? Fine. Good. Yeah, well, let me start us off in prayer. Heavenly Father, another day that we can come and rejoice in your word. Today's Mother's Day. Bless all the mothers and families out there. And without mothers, we wouldn't be born, and we appreciate them, love them, and let them be honored today along with you. And let us always remember that we love our mothers, but you're more important, and we want to honor both and honor you and give you the glory, and let your word just resonate through our hearts and minds today, and so that we could enjoy what you have to say in your word. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
Amen. So, we finished Colossians, and so we're out of there. So, we're going to do something different. Today, I'm going to do defining terms. So, everyday terms that you see in your Bible. And I mean, a lot of them we know, but we're just going to go over them for anybody listening. If they don't know, we can kind of go through them and see what's the difference. If you have a different definition of them, we can kind of get to them. So I'm probably going to do it again next time I teach and define maybe more difficult terms that we hear and that we can get into. So I want to go into Ecclesiastes chapter 12 and kind of read this verse. It's a verse that I like and think it'll kind of set a pace for us. I've been into this one before, but I like this verse because it keeps me, it's just a strong verse. If somebody hears it, they could feel it, you know. Ecclesiastes chapter 12, verse 13. And we all know this one. A lot of us know this one, but I like this one. So, Ecclesiastes chapter 12, verse 13 and 14. Let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter, which Ecclesiastes was going through, you know. Fear God and keep his commandments, for this is the whole duty of man. For God shall bring every work into judgment with every secret thing, whether it be good or whether it be evil. So we want to fear God and keep his commandments. And we know his commandments today are in Paul's epistles and to in 2 Timothy 2:15, to study to show thyself approved. So we want to be studying, obviously, and to keep God's commandments and study. You got to get into the terms and words, and you see what the Bible's saying, and kind of, you know, bounce back and forth. And so, my first word that I was going to get into is forgiveness. So we hear about forgiveness, you know, forgiving, and so what is this forgiveness? You know, do you have someone that you're mad at? Are you able to forgive them? Do you forgive yourself for the past things that you've done? Because there's a lot of times that we done some things that we weren't too proud of, and we don't forgive ourselves. So that forgiveness thing, you know, we're obviously going to get into how the Lord forgives us. But I have a definition for forgiveness. Forgiveness is the pardoning of a person for their sins or crime, treating the perpetrator as not guilty. In God's case, it's our sins that are forgiven. And let's go to Colossians, because I was just in Colossians. So let's see what Colossians chapter 1 has to say about that. And we're just kind of going through the motions here. We're going to be bouncing through our Bible today, too. We have enemies, right? Somebody is our enemy. What does God tell us to do to our enemies? Love thy enemy, you know? Forgive them. Because you're always going to have people that don't agree with you. They want to hate you. And we want to, what the Lord has done for us, we want to give that back to the people so we can be good examples. It's our Christian duty to be doing these things, to forgive each other. And one thing I see a lot is that people don't forgive themselves. Because, you know, we hold things in that we've done something wrong, like, you know, something you've done to your family member or something, and you feel bad about it, you did something horrible, but the Lord has forgiven you, and you can forgive yourself. You know, forgive what you've done, because the Lord has forgiven you. Chapter 1, verse 14 in Colossians, in whom we have redemption through His blood. So that's another term, redemption. We're not going to get into that, but we will. But, you know, buying back. That's He bought us back, redeemed us through His blood, even the forgiveness of sins. Okay. He's bought us back and even the forgiveness of sins. Colossians chapter 2, verse 13 says, which is next chapter over, and you being dead in your sins and the uncircumcision of your flesh, He hath quickened together with Him, having forgiven you all trespasses. So that right there, if you read that carefully, He says He's forgiven all trespasses. All of them. Not some, not a little bit, not the ones you did yesterday or today, or every single one that you're going to do that you've done in the past, present, and future. He's forgiven all your trespasses, and if you read more into that chapter, you see. And that goes for the people that want to keep asking for forgiveness. You know, you keep asking, Lord, forgive me. But here it says He's forgiven all your trespasses. It's all of them. So that's a good understanding. So you know, understand what forgiveness is in the Bible, rightly divided, like we these commandments of God. And so you can know, anybody listening today, you know, God has forgiven us, and He's forgiven you all your trespasses. And asking forgiveness is all the time is something that you're kind of making null to what God has said. He's like, no, I've forgiven all your trespasses. And a lot of these terms kind of mix in together. You'll see like three or four of these terms in like few verses together, and you see it in Romans chapter 3, chapter 4. We kind of get into that, so we'll get into that. So now we got a kind of, so now we know in forgiveness that Lord Jesus Christ forgave us of our sins. You know, 1 Corinthians 15, 1 through 4, we know that's the gospel. We'll get into that as well. But let's see. Let's go to Ephesians chapter 4, verse 32. And remember, Colossians and Ephesians are sister books, so you can kind of get the same out of each. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 32. And be ye kind one to another, tender hearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you. So that's being tender hearted toward each other, loving each other, forgiving each other, even as Christ has forgiven you. So we know, everyone knows Christ has forgiven us, you know, but hey, some people want to go by works. And you'll see in a moment that it's very plain that it's just by believing. And it's not just by works. So there's a gist of forgiveness. So the next term is justification. Okay, we always hear that we're justified. We got justification. And basically, that is someone who is in an established, righteous relationship with God. We have been pardoned by God and have been accepted by Him in peace. We're basically seen as just. God sees us as just. And that's when we get saved, He sees us as just. And we know a lot of these, but that's what these are, just for the people that, you know, that justification. Okay, what does that really mean? You know, and that's what it means. Is God sees you as just. He sees you as a just person. And we're going to get into Romans right now. Let's go back to Romans chapter 4. In this Romans chapter 4, like I was just saying, I was just talking about it right now, that it's just so plain and clear that it's hard to even, how someone would even argue with you about what's what, you know, about what what grace is and what and how you're being saved and all those things. So chapter 4, verse 2. For if Abraham were justified, made just by works, he hath whereof to glory, but not before God. For what saith the scripture? Abraham believed God, and it was counted unto him for righteousness. That's another term that we'll get into. Now, to him that worketh is the reward not reckoned of grace, but of debt. So that's, so you see that. And then verse 5. But to him that worketh not, but believeth on him that justifieth the ungodly. See, he just makes us just. The ungodly, he makes us just. And his faith is counted for righteousness. See, there's no, it's straight believing. There's nothing, it's, he uses Abraham as his example because through all, you know, through all of the dispensations, God wants you to believe what he's got for that dispensation. And, you know, it's not, his faith was counted as righteousness. So it was not of works that made him, and that's the same for today. That today, it's not of works. It's just because you, that justifies you. It's you just believing what God has said. And God has said, I've forgiven you all your trespasses. All of them. I've done it. I've done the work. Christ done the work at the cross. He did it all. And all he wants us to do is believe. And I, not too long, I'm just, you know, going over, you know, from the pastor and teachings that we were, you know, coming to church daily. It's starting to grasp more and more in my mind because I didn't grasp all of this, you know. I learn as you go and you put yourself out there and make yourself pay attention. And, you know, one thing that I like is that the first, you know, the first day is Sunday, and then the Sabbath is the last day, and that Israel, they worked all them days, and then it was like a type for them, and on the Sabbath they rest. Well, today we rest on the first day, and that's a type for us, that we get saved on the first day, and then we work. That's the type for our lives. You know, we get saved on that first day. We get saved right away. It's the first thing in your walk of Christianity. You get saved, and then you do the works. It's not you do works, then I'm justified. It's that God justifies you first, and he's forgiven you first, and then you appreciate what he's done for you, what you understand, the full assurance, what was it in Colossians? The full assurance of understanding. You understand and you're fully assured what God has said. And then boom, okay, then let me do this. Let me do this for the Lord because he's done this for me. You know, Israel, they didn't have it so sweet. We all know that. But they got to call the law a curse. I mean, they were under that, you know, so it's not, they didn't have it sweet like us. And, chapter 4, verse in Romans, verse 25, who hath delivered for our offenses and was raised again for our justification. So, another verse there for justification. He was delivered for our offenses. He did it for we are the offenders. And he died on the cross for us out of the love that he had for us. And, that's what makes you justified. And Romans chapter 5, verse 1. Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. So the Lord Jesus Christ, through the Lord Jesus Christ, we have peace with him. He has justified us. And, you know, some people are ashamed to come to God. Something they've got, something they've done, something they... You know, there's a lot of people that I know, I say, come to church. And I think they're ashamed to come to church just because of how their lifestyle is. I tell them that, who cares what, you know, the body of Christ is supposed to understand. Like us, we understand that, hey, we know you're a sinner, dude. Just come to church. Just come and learn. Everyone's got problems. And I think that's what blocks people from coming. You know, because they're like, dang, I was just smoking and drinking and partying and doing all these things. I don't think the church will, what is this term they say, that the church will catch on fire? They walk in. it'll fall in on them. That's what a lot of people, I hear it all the time. I'm like, that makes you more qualified to come in. Because then you, God wants you to recognize that you're bad, but so is everyone else. I mean, you have sins, and so does everyone else. And that, come and grow. Just come and learn. Just come and slowly change your life. Because everyone's, we come to church every day, and you know, maybe, I'm sure there's churches out there that profess themselves like they're holy, but everyone has, even though we're saints, we all have problems. We all have sin. We all fail in one way or another. So, for those who think that way, that way is the devil in your mind telling you, you know, that, hey, you're not good enough to go to church. Nah, you're, that makes you more qualified, and we need you to come. We need to grow the body of Christ. Do it for yourself. Do it for the Lord. You know, do it for us, because if somebody comes in, they might be a good person that, you know, like, people vibe with different people, you know. So if somebody comes in, we can, you know, you never know. I might vibe with you, and we can help each other in a way. Edify the body, and you. So anybody listening, just keep that in mind. So let's go to, you know, this justification, you know, this, it's deep. It goes deep, and we just went through chapter 4, but in there's James chapter 2. We're not going to go there, but it's total opposites. That's how you know that, you know, James is a book that's prophecy, and it's not part of the grace message, and it talks about, because a lot of people says the Bible contradicts itself, and in James it says that you work to be righteous, you know, in James chapter 2, and that's not, we're not, we're under grace, and we're saved, and that's a whole different program that was kept secret, and it was Satan's demise, and he hates this. He don't want nobody to hear this, and that's why we're here, to make sure that it gets out. Let's go to Galatians chapter 3, and just, we'll finish this off. I have 6 terms for today, and we'll see if we'll get to them. But Galatians chapter 3, and, verse 11. And like I said, we know a lot of these things, but just to sharpen and stay sharp. Chapter 3, verses. Let's do verse 10. Chapter 3, verse 10. For as many as are under the works of the law are under the curse. So, for it is written, cursed is everyone that continueth not in all things which are written in the book of the law to do them. But that no man is justified by the law in the sight of God. It is evident, for the just shall live by faith. So the law has never saved anybody or made anybody just, you know. Never, the law was never, because you follow the law, don't mean that. Back then they had to follow all them all the laws, you know, 600 plus, but which is crazy, you know. They couldn't keep it, as we know that, but they had to do sacrifices, and it really comes down to, you know, that's the animal sacrifice, all types of Christ. So we had the ultimate sacrifice. And that's it. That's it. Christ is the ultimate sacrifice. He was the end of the law. So now we're justified purely by faith. And we're going to see that when we get into Ephesians. But, okay, my next, you know, Christ did the justifying. But my next term is salvation. So we went through forgiveness. We went through justification. Now we're going into salvation. This term salvation, and it's kind of been tossed to and fro, you know, because there are way more people not being saved in the world than people being saved. And that's, you know, a lot of people question that in itself, you know. They're like, why is so many people on their way to hell, you know? And it's just a scary thing when you think about it. A lot of people are literally going down that wide path, you know, and there's that little path that God has chosen. God has chosen the few to be. So, and the only thing, I'm pretty sure there's plenty of answers, but I know that this earth is evil, that there's evil, the evil that's in this world is just so great, the sin, you know, that's why God, one sin will send you to hell. That's what, because sin, God sees sin is so bad. Even though we see sin, you know, we sin often, so it's like, oh, you know, a little white lie or a little white sin, but to God, each one is, and that's why we needed that perpetual salvation, perpetual, it's constant. God is, that's the forgiven all trespasses. We need that because, you know, we're part of the, now that Christ is under the law, I mean, now that Christ is the end of the law, then what's next? Well, he's showing it to us in Paul's epistles that there's no more works. You can't work to justify yourself. You just have to believe. So that's salvation. Salvation, being delivered from dangers, slavery, sin, and bondage. God has delivered us from the eternal damnation through the Lord Jesus Christ. So basically, he saved us from wrath. He saved us from hell, from the lake of fire. He saved us from all them torments. And if you go in through the Bible, you know, there's think tanks and people out there that say, oh, well, hell's just a little, hell is a place of torment. You look up that word and maybe kind of think on that word, torment. I'm good off that. So it's constant pain, constant whatever pain you want to think of, physical or mental. That's something we're trying, that we have avoided, because we know by the full assurance of this gospel that we have avoided that. But we want you, who's not listening, who's just listening, or anybody that doesn't know, we want you to understand that there is a place. It's called hell, Hades, Sheol, whatever you want to call it. The lake of fire, whatever, the lake of fire comes after, but it's a place, and that place is going to go into the lake of fire. So both places are no good. You know, you're going to end up being in torment for the rest of your eternity. And this is not this is kind of the scary, but it's not to just make you look the other way and turn the other cheek. It's to warn you, like, hey, this is for real. You know, even though God is righteous and he's a God of love and God of mercy, he's got his reasons why he needs these things, why he needs to establish these orders, you know, because sin is that bad. And if sin is that bad, and he's got his reason why he needs a place called the lake of fire. I mean, I just went and seen a lake today. Yesterday, I went to a tulip fest yesterday, and they had a nice lake over there, you know. And just imagine, even Lake Michigan, it's all on fire. I mean, I'm pretty sure that's the literal term. It's going to be a lake of fire. So, you know, just if you, I say that with emphasis, because out of love, because a lot of people are going down that path, and that's a path we do not want to go. So, are you saved this morning? If you're listening, and if you're not, 1 Corinthians 15:1-4. That's the gospel for today. It's not Matthew chapter Matthew 9 at the end of 9 and the beginning of 10, where that's another gospel. That's the gospel of the kingdom. That's not the gospel for today. That is not the gospel. I say that again. The gospel is 1 Corinthians 15:1-4. You go and find out for yourself. Don't take my word for it. Go into the word and see it for yourself, because that's what the God wants you to do anyways. So in Acts 28:28 says, salvation of God is sent to the Gentiles, sent to us. You know, this is no more Israel is in that main favorite state. They will be again, but not. God has took Gentile and Jews all together. And the only way to get saved today is in Paul's gospel. That's that 1 Corinthians. So that's the only way to get saved today. And let's go to Ephesians chapter 2, verse 4. Ephesians chapter 2. And I'm only going through this, emphasizing on this, just because of this term salvation that we have. It's termed salvation. This is another that kind of describes the gospel. And a lot of us know this, but I encourage you, anybody listening, to memorize these verses. Memorize it and know it and keep it. So in verse 2 and verse 3, it's kind of showing that that the people are unsaved there. Then when you get into verse 4, but God, so see, God and the Lord intervenes, who is rich in mercy. See, he wants you to not go to that lake of fire. For his great love, which is at the cross, wherewith he loved us. So that great love at the cross. Even when we were dead in sins, hath quickened us, made us alive, us together with Christ. By grace are ye saved. And hath raised us up together, and hath made us sit in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. So I choose to sit in heavenly places with Christ Jesus than to be on my way to hell or the lake of fire. I'd rather be in a place of, you know, royalty than be in a place of torment and doom. Yeah, that's another good word. It's doom. You're doomed. And God don't want you. He don't want you to go there. So, verse 7. That in the ages to come he might show the exceeding riches of his grace in his kindness. That's he's being kind toward us through Christ Jesus. For by grace are, and this is the verses that we want to emphasize. For by grace are ye saved through faith. And then not of yourselves, it is the gift of God. Plain English. Plain, I mean, it's, you. How can you dispute that? It's not of works, lest any man should boast. It has nothing to do with works. It has nothing to do with yourself. It has nothing to do with what you're doing. It has everything to do with what the Lord Jesus Christ has done. And you notice these things, they're all in Paul's epistles. It's a whole different language and a whole different set of commandments than the other part of the Bible, than all the other parts. What is it? I don't know, but I always heard Paul Belbox, 12/13 of the Bible. It's a big chunk that's not part of Paul's epistles. It's a whole different, you know, whole different set of rules. So I needed to get into that. So anybody not who's not listening, but I was going to get in Ephesians. Ephesians chapter 1, verse 13. So, I was going to get into this one first. Kind of had it backwards. But, for anybody not knowing, it's the chapter before. In whom ye also trusted, after that ye heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation. So, now we know what the gospel is. In whom also, after that ye believed, you were sealed with that Holy Spirit of promise. You're sealed. It's like a package. You just, you ain't going nowhere. You're sealed with that Holy Spirit, and you're locked in with the Lord. And the Lord, and he knows your heart. What is it with David, back in the days of David, when he was, or even the judges, or he was saying that he don't look at the outward man. He looks at the inner man. He'll look and see how beautiful you look on the outside. He wants to see how good you look on the inside. He wants to know that good-looking man on the inside, woman, man, and see how what you are. And then, when he knows you're saved, you get that Holy Spirit of promise, you're justified, you're forgiven, you're sanctified. You got all these terms that apply to you. So, let's do 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. First Thessalonians chapter 5. And verse 9. This is going to be just a quick one. First Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 9. For God hath not appointed us to wrath. See, that's, there goes that word wrath. But to obtain salvation by our Lord Jesus Christ. See, God don't want you to be in torment. He don't want that for you. Even though he's established these, you know, these things, he doesn't want that for us. He's got a love, and he proves it day by day. He proves it in my life, he proves it in your lives, and he proves it I'm grateful for that today, and Ephesians 4:30 says to grieve not the Holy Spirit. So when you're saved, you're still going to be sinning. You know what I mean? But He wants you to be the best that you can be and to learn these truths so you can, you know, put them things into subjection, because you do grieve the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit, if you know, I'm not saying you get saved and you become this like super Christian. Like, you can actually fail. You know, you fail. We all do. Every Christian does. But like, you could do something that you can regret. You know, I've done it before. I've done it. Probably still do it. But we gotta put them things in subjection. Put them things under, you know, be above those things. Be above, and that's where God's word comes in. And you see what all the things that he loves us for. So, and what He wants us to do. He wants us to follow His word. The next term is forbearance. So we have forbearance. So we had forgiveness, justification, salvation, and then forbearance. Forbearance is mostly synonymous with long suffering. It is a delay in punishment and actively being patient. A good example is that we are justified through the forbearance of God. God is long suffering today. We know this. He's holding back that wrath and the tribulation. When the tribulation comes, we're not going to be around. But the people who are going to be around, they're going to feel the full force of that. That's going to be like it never been. I can just, all the bad things you see on TV now, or you see what's happening in the world, I mean, you can times that by, it's probably unfathomable what their people are going to go through. And it's going to be the whole world. So it'd be crazy what people are going to go through them times. And God's holding that back. Today, this is the age of grace, and He's trying to. He wants. This is where He's at peace right now. But when that peace is run up, better watch out, because, like we know, when God comes, when the Lord Jesus comes, what is it at? Armageddon, where He comes down, and He starts, and He goes to war Himself, He's suited up and He's ready to go. I'm sure that'll be a sight to see, you know. And these are all things. The Lord is, our ways are nowhere near the Lord's ways. So His ways are infinite. We can't understand what those things, you know. Well, I could be a God of love and be a God of wrath. And well, He knows how to balance these things. He created these things. You know, God created all these things, and He knows how to balance all these things out, so to where it's righteous. let's go to Romans chapter 3. Also, with that forbearing, do we forbear each other, our family members? Do we forbear the idiocracies that our family members do? Like the annoying things that people we love. Because I know a lot of people I love, they do some annoying things. I get mad. I get so annoyed, I'm not going to even lie. Even, you know, like I am so appreciative for my cousin that I work with. But we bump heads. And I get annoyed with him, man. But luckily, through God's word, we're able to forgive each other and be, you know, because we do bump heads. Like, I get mad at him, and I feel bad because, you know, the flesh wants to rise. And like I said, we're not, you know, that's just one example. There's a few other family members that we just, it's like, geez, man, what are you thinking, you know? And like I said, God's being patient with us. We want to emulate God, so we want to be patient with others, you know? And I'm sure, like I just said, God is probably annoyed with us. You know, just like we get annoyed with everyone else, God is probably like, Jesus. You know, like, excuse me, I don't mean it like that. But you know what I mean? Like, He's probably just like, man, what's the matter with these, you know? But I meant that in a no derogatory way. But I'm just saying, God's probably fed up with us. And we want to, And we, you want to understand that the Lord is, you know, what He's doing for today. So, Romans chapter 3, verse 21. And these verses right here, this has all these terms in it. So this is one that kind of, it's got a bunch of terms in it. But now the righteousness of God without the law is manifested, being witnessed by the law and the prophets. So we know that. Even the righteousness of God, which is by faith of Jesus Christ unto all and upon all that believe, for there is no difference. Verse 24, being justified freely by His grace through the redemption. So we know there goes another term that is in Christ Jesus, whom God hath set forth to be a propitiation, so which is like an appeasement, through faith in His blood, to declare His righteousness for the remission of sins, which is the taking away of sins that are past, through the forbearance of God. So that word forbearance is popping up, and He's appeasing, so He's appeasing to take away, and He's taking away our sins, and He's just forbearing, that forbearance of God, and He's just that long suffering that He has for us. I mean, yeah, He, like you said, He's probably annoyed with us for so many things that we do, and He just puts up with us, and let's go one chapter 2, verse 4 of Romans. Or despiseth thou the riches of His goodness and forbearance and longsuffering? So that's kind of comparing them to forbearing and longsuffering, not knowing that the goodness of God leadeth thee to repentance. But after the hardness of the impotent heart, treasures up unto thyself wrath against the day of thy, against the day of wrath and revelation of the righteous judgment of God, who will render to every man according to his deeds. So He's just forbearing us in love, and we can only be appreciative of that. But I wanted to go to Ephesians. Let me see, Ephesians chapter 4, verse 2. And we'll just, and that forbearance. And we're just kind of seeing where forbearing is and going over them in our Bible. But Ephesians chapter 4, verse 2. With all lowliness and meekness, with long suffering and forbearing one another, and forbearing one another in love. So that forbearing, that long suffering for each other in love. And sometimes it can be hard. This is what He asks of us. This is what the Lord asks for us. And we want to keep that word, whenever you see it. So, and I, like I said, these are terms that we kind of understand, but just want to go over them. So, all right, and our fifth term is sanctification. So sanctification, you see that word, and you're like, okay, what is that? Well, sanctification is basically making one holy and setting them apart unto God. God has set us apart and made us holy in Christ Jesus. That sanctification is, He's basically sanctified us. When you got saved, that you were sanctified and that you're set aside to God. And 1 Thessalonians 4, 3 through 5, I'm going to go through there and kind of, because when you're sanctified, you're set apart as holy. So if you're engaging in things that are unholy, God doesn't want you to be doing that stuff, to be, doing things you know you ought to not be doing, hanging out with the wrong crowd or doing, just doing things you know you're not supposed to be doing, just sinful acts, going out all the time or whatever it is that you're sinning on, he don't want you to be doing that. So 1 Thessalonians chapter 4 and verse 3. For this is the will of God, even your sanctification, that you should abstain from fornication. So he sees he's identifying that with fornication. We all know that we shouldn't be fornicating before marriage and all them things, and that everyone, verse 4, every one of you should know how to possess his vessel in sanctification and honor. This vessel that we're walking around with, he wants us, this is supposed to be a living sacrifice for the Lord, and he don't want us to be messing this up, because we have a duty, like we see in Ecclesiastes, we got a whole duty that we need to be, you know, ready and taking care of this vessel and not to be getting into all them things, you know, like fornicating. Because it's, you know, there's a lot of honor in what we're doing. Verse 5, not in the lust of concupiscence, which is strong sexual desire, even as the Gentiles which know not God. That strong sexual desire again. He wants us to have our bodies to be holy, not to engage in these things that are sinful. And Hebrews chapter 2. See what Hebrews has to say about this. Verse 11. And I think this word is closely related to saints. And as we know, that we're Christ's, the Lord sees us as saints. We become saints. Even the carnal Christians of the Corinthians, they were identified as saints. And God is the one who makes you into a saint. It's not men, or if you die, if you did something really great in your life and you died and the church decided to make you into a saint and make money off you today or whatever you're doing, you know, but it's not men or it's not an organization that makes you sanctified or into a saint like they did to, what was it, St. Patrick's Day that just passed, St. Patrick. They said that he was a saint afterward, the church did. And if he was saved, then God seen him as a saint before. You know, it's God who's, it's not the organization or church that's saying, no, he's a saint. You know, that's, now he's a saint, and we're saying that he's a saint through whatever process we're going by. And it's not, and I don't, that's not very good. So, Hebrews chapter 2, verse 11. For both he that sanctifieth and they who are sanctified are all one. For which cause he is not ashamed to call them brethren. And see, the Lord is the one that sanctifies us. And verse 10, chapter 10, verse 10 in Hebrews. By the verse 10, chapter 10, by the which we were all sanctified through the offering of the body of Jesus Christ once for all. And every priest standeth daily ministering and offering oftentimes the same sacrifices which can never take away sins. But this man, after he had offered one sacrifice of sins forever, sat down on the right hand of God. See, it's not men don't do the sacrificing, all that what Israel was doing. That don't take away sins. It was the Lord Jesus Christ that took away all sins that we've seen there in Colossians. And so all them things that they're doing, the priests and all that, that's, it can never take away. It was never able to take away sins. It was never able to do what the ultimate sacrifice was, which was Christ. And he did. And I'm pretty, in that verse 10 there, that we are sanctified through the offering of the body of Christ once for all. Correct me if I'm wrong, but that's it. He's the one that did it, and it was once and for all. That it was, that's, it's not for, And it's a one and done. That's right. That he did it for, that once he's done it, and he's done it for you, that's once and for all. Stamped it out, the seal of the Holy Spirit, and that you are a new creature, and that you're all these things, sanctified, you know, you're justified, you're forgiven, and these are just to kind of understand these things. So I was going to go into another one, but I think we'll call that for today. But I appreciate you guys, you know, forbearing me today, because it was a little rough. I don't know why it is, but it just is. But yeah, thank you for your grace. But yeah, you can have a question. Let me just go over this, and then you whatever you guys want to say. But forgiveness, justification, salvation, and then we had forbearance and sanctification. So those are our terms that we went through today. If you do have anything, go. If you want have anything to say, go ahead.
Last words Christ said on the cross were, "It was finished."
It was finished.
It was finished.
Right.
There will never be another sacrifice for sin.
Amen.
Okay, so sanctification, I think it has an alternate meaning. You know, isn't it Paul's verse that says we work out our salvation, which we know they can't be working to heaven. I think I heard that it's also a freedom from our Adam nature, that we're not bondage to. I think it has another aspect. Anybody remember?
Freedom from Adam's nature?
Free from our carnal nature.
Mm.
I think I heard that was also salvation.
I honestly am not sure. So,
standing in a state.
Yeah.
You're standing, you are set apart, holy, justified. That's your standing in Christ Jesus. And then you have a daily sanctification, which is how you're putting into practice all these things.
Mm.
Whatever be your differences, right?
Boy.
Yes. Sanctification, there's two aspects. There's mm-hmm. positional sanctification, like Grace said. That's 1 Corinthians 1, 2,
mm-hmm.
and 1 Corinthians 6, 11. You're sanctified. You're set apart eternally. And experimental sanctification is another distinct aspect of sanctification.
Yeah.
You mentioned 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. It's used that way, experimentally. But positional sanctification can't be rescinded. It's permanent.
Yeah. Okay.
All the safekeeping that God does for is God keeping us set apart unto Himself. It is not accomplished by us keeping ourselves set apart unto Him.
Right.
So. Right. Okay.
I'm going to hop to forgiveness. And forgive me, Oscar. I tried to write as fast as I could. The pardoning and treating the person as what? You treat them how after you've pardoned them?
Oh, treating the perpetrator as not guilty.
As not guilty.
Yeah. Yep. And go ahead.
I was going to kind of piggyback on that forgiveness thing and stuff, but to treat somebody that they're not guilty doesn't mean that they're not guilty. I mean, a lot of people think that when you forgive somebody, you kind of pardon their, let their sin go and stuff. Say, like a pedophile, for instance, you still wouldn't let them work in a Sunday school, you know, with children and stuff. Right. I mean, you could forgive and still not, you still have repercussions from the sins that you, you know, consequences.
Yeah, that's a good point, because I wouldn't want a pedophile to be in school either.
Right, yes.
Yeah. I appreciate that, because I'm learning more while I'm up here with you guys. Go ahead.
Is forbearance mostly a Pauline word, like the Lord for forbearing with us? That's the one I didn't know very
well. Yeah, that one was kind of tricky for me, too. I know I looked it up, but I don't remember. I know it's like coincided with long suffering, but I think it is. I'm not sure. So, but it's a good thing I can find out. But I know, these are just terms I see that it's part of Paul's epistles, and that we could kind of expound on them and to kind of direct what is going on for today, so we won't, you know, mix Israel's program or with forgiveness with, you know, go ahead.
The most important thing is never to think of salvation as simply forgiveness. Forgiveness is taking away the enmity, the penalty. It's subtracting the negative. We're forgiven, but that's not salvation. Salvation is the imputation of God, Christ's righteousness, and that is what justification. Justification encompasses both forgiveness and the imputation of righteousness. So, but most churches are thinking in terms of salvation as simply forgiveness, and they got to keep getting forgiven.
Mm-hmm.
When forgiveness is only taking, like I said, taking away the negative.
We're forgiven once for all.
Enmity is taken away through the cross work of Christ.
Mm-hmm. We're forgiven once, one for all.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Sinners believe it.
Amen. All right. Well, I like.
You should think of your salvation as you being justified. You're as righteous as the Lord Jesus Christ is because you are in Christ.
Right.
In Christ. Yeah, and I was
that's
in.
It's a hard thing for us to grasp, but that's what the Scripture teaches.
And the imputation is another term that I was. These ones
yes,
are.
Justification is not an infused righteousness, which is what Catholicism teaches. They teach that once you're saved, God gives you a spark of righteousness, and then you have to keep working that, and ultimately you will be justified when you get to heaven. But that's. Justification mm-hmm. is imputed.
Imputed.
It's God's declaration that you are righteous. It's a legal declaration based upon. In the imputation of righteousness.
And then we've seen that in
Corinthians chapter 5:21.
Yeah. Okay. Well, I appreciate that. I love all that. So I appreciate it. Anybody else? Anything? All right. Well, thank you. Heavenly Father, thank you for this. Hopefully that these terms, people kind of want to learn more about them, find out for themselves and learn on themselves. And we always love the feedback that we have. You know, I can that we all can learn off that, and because it's just a constant learning process with you, Lord. That we're just going to constantly be learning about your word, and we know that it's all for your glory, and it's to build us up as saints and as the body of Christ. And we're grateful for all these things that you've given us and you've done for us, and. Let's have this Mother's Day. Just enjoy the rest of the day and give you glory. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
Amen. Thank you.